Parak, and remember the second parak talked about that extra second level identity that a Jew has called Nefesh Eloka Mimal Mamish, above just Seichel that everyone has. And what you have in this parak, I would say there really are three or four dynamics that are evolving. Number one, as I alluded to when I spoke about Lubavitch Chassidus last week in the Masara, or forget when I spoke about it, is that all of Kabbalah is based upon a system that translates and transmogrifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinity down to finitude. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence express itself in this chocolate milk? I mean, Hashem is infinite, it's not chocolate milk. So Hashem allows his presence to percolate down to what are called sephiros. And the sephiros are seven sephiros based on the pasuk loosely, Lecha Hashem, HaGedula, BeHaGevura, BeHaTiferes, VeHaNitzach, VeHod, and you add the word chesed, and that's why for many people, Sefiros Omer becomes a maze that takes you through the seven Sefiros, so those who are tuned to Kabbalah. Now, in the world of Chabad Chassidus, those Sefiros that are the lattice through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence trickles down to human experience, A, have corresponding parts of human identity, and I used that word last week during the Chassidus talk, the internalization of cosmology. Kabbalah is about cosmology, how I view the cosmos, how I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaphysically, and how he trickles down to me. But all of a sudden, there's an internalization of that process. I'm looking in parts of my body, and my soul, my identity, and I say, oh, that's connected to this sphere, and that's connected to this sphere. So studying Kabbalah doesn't mean studying outer spheres of our universe, but studying human nature, and understanding and improving human nature. But a key word, and again, these are all very, very, I mean, in people that study the Tanya seriously, they'll spend hours and hours over these words and where they come from. Kol bechino madrega, kolo me eser bechinos. Again, there's seven plus three because there are three deliverers. There are three primary traits, and those three primary traits launch seven derivatives. So there's ten altogether. Eser bechinos, kineged eser spheros, elionos, your parts of your body or your soul, shenishtal shelu mehem. That's the key line in the Tanya. These seven plus three in your identity are nishtalish. Doesn't just mean they correspond, but they actually are drawn. So your identity is drawn from cosmic realities. Your soul, your identity, your nefesh, ruach, neshama, are literally, not derivatives, they're outcomes of these spheros. Now, there are three emos and seven kfulos. Emos are motherships, mother traits, and the seven kfulos are the seven traits that come from the mothers, that are born from the mother. What are the three mother traits? Lo and behold, Chabad. Chachma, Bina, Vadas. Those are the three mother traits that have corresponding parts of the Eser Sefiros and Shemayim, and then all the other traits come from those three mother traits. That's why it's called Chabad. What is Chabad? Epistemology. How we study and acquire information. Three stages. Chachma, Bina, Vadas. Again, this is very different than what you normally associate Chassidus with. This is really how human beings comprehend and assimilate information. There's that first flash of intellectual exposure where you think of an idea, where you encounter a text, where you think of something. That's called Chachma. It suddenly starts rustling and jostling in your mind. It's that first moment where you feel your mind awakening, your intellectual synapses firing. Now keep in mind that in Chassidus, because it's part of Kabbalah, there's a lot of word manipulation, gematria manipulation. People joke about it, they trivialize it, but they took this very seriously. So chachma can be inverted to be koach ma. It's inquiry. We interpret it as inquiry and intellectual flash, that first introduction and exposure. So haseichel kolel chachma bina vadas. Haseichel should be nefesh hamaskelus, now about halfway through the page. Nikra b'shem chachma, koachma, the ability to ask why, the ability to inquire, intellectual curiosity, encountering an item. The next level after chachma, koachma, is bina, deep understanding, analysis, comprehension, use whatever terms you'd like, but it's a combination of all of them. Shem esbonin b'sichlo, lahavin davar lishuro, liamka mitoch eis chachma. And now I'm skipping to the third one, and we'll get back to the discussion of the Yerushalayim and Avos Hashem. The third one is Das, Chachma Bina Vadas. Chachma is pre-intellectual encounter, pre-analytic encounter, pre-cognitive encounter, the first flash. Bina is the analysis, the understanding, the thought process. Das is what I would call existential, not cognitive. To know something so well that it percolates far beyond your intellect. To a degree, you may feel, I use some of these tactics, I don't know if I use it because of Chabad, but all the songs we sing and all the jokes we make and all the visuals that I create, ultimately, I'm not just trying to make the shiur humorous and alive and exciting, I'm trying to get these ideas into your subconscious. You should just, not just know them, but live them. They should be part of whom you are. And for the rest of your life, you'll talk about fire eaters and enemies of the state official and all these little associations, because that's how you're born. When we talk about songs and popular songs and sports and quarterbacks, because you're wired that way. That's how you grew up. So if I can just attach Torah to your wiring, then I'm inserting it at a level that's deeper than just cognition. I'm inserting it into your soul, to your neshama. That's what makes a song so powerful. Not just when we sing crazy songs, normal songs. It's not an intellectual experience. It awakens something within your soul. So das is not just knowing something, but wedding your identity and all levels of your identity, not just your cognition, to that information. Namely, v'adam yada es chava, the first employment of the word das, doesn't mean that Adam knew Chava. Hello, I know who you are now. Adam cohabitated with Chava. They became one flesh, one basar, one unit, one entity. A sexual experience, not a cognitive experience. It affects every level of human identity and creates a union between the two that we're searching for with das. Hu lashon hiskashrus v'hischabrus shemekasher daito bekesher amitzvah chazak miod v'yitka machshavto bechozek begadlus einsof barav enam siach daito. And you're compelled, you're almost obsessed with it. This is very avant-garde thinking. You don't have this. Certainly many writers of the day, but certainly Jewish writers of the day, who are actually able to divide the process of epistemology, how we acquire knowledge, into three different units. This is incredibly revolutionary. Incredibly astute. Now what he says is, this is necessary because you're not studying math and physics. You could do this with math and physics, but you're studying something which is beyond human cerebral activity. You're studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinity. And that's what makes this point so sharp. Read this last line with me. Hine, the last line. Im lo yikasher daito, if you don't reach the level of das, v'yitka machshavto b'chozek uv'asmada, lo yolid b'nafsho yir v'ava amitit, you won't have the outcome of yir and ava, ki im dimyonos shav, you'll have falsified versions of Hashem. I've said this so often. When we think of Hashem with our brains, it's fraudulent, because our brains aren't capable of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they just work differently. Our brains are binary. Hashem is multiplicity. For us, it's day or night. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's day and night. For Hashem, it's Tameh and Tahar at once. For us, we can't wrap our minds around something being Tameh and Tahar, because we see exclusive truths. That's why Lamdas, to me, is the closest approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, because you're thinking about options, not binary exclusivity, either it's this or that. This or that is human form. To say it in a dramatic form, when you learn Gemara, this or that is basically paganizing Hashem. You're taking Hashem and making him human. And any attempt to make Hashem human is paganism. He's not exclusive. He's not binary. He's not on or off. He's not black or white. He's everything. So if I'm using my brain to understand Hashem, listen to that phrase, it's dimyono shav. It's a false encounter. Now, of course, everything about humans and Hashem encountering one another is false. That's the definition. It's called a paradox. And Hashem wants us to leap beyond that paradox and still relate to Him. But the deeper you understand it, and the more that you insert Torah into your being, into your essence, then that's the closest you come, because you're cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is mysticism in a non-cognitive fashion. I can't articulate it. It's not an analytic process, but when my neshama clings to Hashem over a daf gemara, over a concept of Torah, so that interaction transcends cognition and the fraudulent aspects of cognition based on the disparity between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings. And that's why it's so important. Das will, obviously, if you want to do well in your tests, das will help you. If you're studying for your medical boards and you really want to pass, don't just study it, but try to reach das, where you're living. People, medical students say, I'm living biology, I'm living chemistry. It's all I eat, drink, and sleep. I'm breathing. But that will just help you understand it better. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're trying to interact with Him on a level that has to transcend cerebral cognitive activity. Otherwise, it runs the risk of falsification. Eitan. Isn't one of those also binary to a certain extent? but it aims to escape binary activity. It aims to hold out possibilities that are coexistent truths rather than one exclusive truth, as much as we can. Obviously, I'd love to be Rebbe Meir. Meir could come to the Beis Medrash and say, you see that? I'll give you 49 reasons it's Tamei, 49 reasons it's Tamei. I can't do that. The best I can do is one reason, two reasons, or three reasons it's Tamei at all. And those seem exclusive in the broader range of Rebbe Meir. To most people, they seem like a great. That's why it took you so long to adjust. Because when you're learning in high school, in most cases, you're probably just getting a mahalach. The Rebbe was giving you the mahalach to the sugya, and you trained your mind to assume, what is the mahalach to the sugya? What is the way to learn the sugya? And I tried to train you. That's a crazy question. That's a paganistic question in a dramatic way. That's a humanizing question. The mahalach and the sugya? That's an intellectually bankrupt statement. You're taking out Kodesh Baruch Hu's sugyos that are multi-layered and striated and trying to humanize them. Now, for most people, that's the most concrete way to learn, because we're humans. So what is my mahalach? So even people that will say their mahalach won't say that's the mahalach, that's my mahalach. I'm trying to thrust you into this plane where you're able to see different mahalchim in a sugya innervating all of Shas. And that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as close a microcosm of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu delivered to us at Har Sinai. Now the other interesting factor, I want to be very brief, is this middle part. The two primary derivatives, the two primary offsprings of Chabad, of Chachma Bina Vadas, the two, I'd say, primary sub-traits are Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. Because when you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world and his Torah so deeply, it generates and catalyzes both this incredible awe of the infinity, as well as a desire to cling to that infinity. But what's interesting is he inverts the Rambam. Anyone know in Hilchos Yisrael Torah what comes first? Ahava or Yira? Ahava. For the Rambam, the process is launched with desire, passion, hypnotic captivation. I see this beauty, I see this majesty, I'm drawn ineluctably out of my own world to this other place to be encountering infinity and immortality, and I'm thrilled, and my passion's flared, I'm in love. Then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, this is so large, this is so infinite. And right away you're propelled backwards. And you can't imagine how little you are, the Rambam. Look at the Rambam, Yisodei Atar, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph and Beis. For the Tanya, the opposite. Let's read. Mitzvonein umamik ma'od begadlus Hashem. When you see this and you tether it to your identity, Echu memalei kol olamin, Hashem suffuses all worlds, v'sovev kol olamin, v'kulo kamei kol ochashev, and nothing for Hashem is entity or being. It's all meaningless space and time. Nolda v'nisara midas yiras haramimus. You're not afraid, but you're just in awe of this infinity. And of course, you're embarrassed to fail him. Lira v'lizboshesh migad lusa yizbarach she'en lo sof v'tachlis v'pachad Hashem b'libo. V'shuv, stage two, Yislahiv libo bi'ava aza kirishbe'esh. Then you start to become engulfed with flames, apropos to today's discussion. B'chasheka v'chafetza v'tshuka v'nefesh shokeka l'gadlus. You desire, you crave to understand Hashem's godless to the point that your soul almost expires. V'yiklos nefesh. And then you're over in Mavir. And your soul expires and you're so engulfed in the flames of passion that identity and ego are annihilated. You just want to submit yourself. And I've talked so often in the Sfas Emes here in the morning about the myth, or not the myth, but the ethos and the ethic of submission in Chasidus. I just want Hashem. I don't want myself. And if I have to annihilate myself in order to retrieve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to do that because I just desire this. And that's what you taste one day when you're married. Hopefully, Mirz Hashem, the next couple of years you'll be married. You just want that person, and you're willing to, I'll use a harsh word, defer yourself, surrender yourself, annihilate yourself. You don't want to live you. You want to live that person. And you'd be willing to act out of character, act out of self-interest. Not about me. It's about that other person. And then, of course, you translate love from sexual romantic love into generous, benevolent love. You have children. And then all of a sudden, it's not about feeling that physical attraction to someone. I don't need the stimulant. I just want my child. I'll take a bullet for my child. I'll die for my child. I just want... And then you're able to translate that into more abstract forms of love, or just about my people and my nation and my state. I just want the state of Israel and Jewish people. And it's a ladder of love. And that's why Hashem wants you to get married. He wants you to taste that at a very visceral state. And he creates the receptors in your body, sexual receptors, to feel that, so that you'll be drawn out of your own circle and be drawn into these selfless cycles of love. But now you should just have a good marriage. You should be able to love beyond yourself. And that was, of course, Rabbi Akiva's great accomplishment. Rabbi Akiva was such a good husband, legendary. That's why Chazal speak about his husbanding, and that led him to love his people, v'yafta l'recha kamocha, which led him to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the point of his own life. V'yafta l'shem l'kecha, afiluhu me'otilas nafshecha, here's mosin nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. The Hashem's teaching us how to love to the point of self-annihilation, how to be over on mevasha with our ahava. Mevasha according to the Urayim, and one day in the Yishalmi. How to be over to lose yourself, ad kolos nefesh. Nichzefa v'gam kolsa nafshi. Sama nafshi l'lokim l'kel chai. And then he talks about different aspects of Tzimaon, which we won't talk about here. So the three or four highlights from Perek Gimel. Number one, the internalization of cosmology, that the human soul is crafted, it's in the same superstructure of the universe. Number two, Chabad, Chachma Bina Vadas. Number three, the importance of Das, not just at the next stage to understand something, because you're trying to supersede cognitive activity to cling to Hashem's authentic reality, not a falsified reality. Number four, Yiran Ava stem from Chabad as the primary subtraits, but Yira precedes Ava, which is very different. As far as I know, most Rishonim, I think it's Rabbeinu Tam that agrees, obviously speaking in a different language, most Rishonim will place Ava as the first stage and Yira as the secondary stage. He inverts it. Okay?
Sorry.
Who? Kabbalah. It's based on Kabbalah. Okay. Stop here at Makaris at my makam. Have a great, great day, everyone. You're welcome. You're welcome.